Welcome to the Hutt City Baptist podcast. For more information, visit us at huttbaptist.org.nz.
Hello again. This morning, before we start prayer and self-denial, we had a gap, and so I really felt I wanted to kind of jump in the gap and share on prayer journeys. But not just myself, this morning three of our elders will also be coming and sharing one of their own personal prayer stories with you. Earlier this week we had the LEAD conference, which is a national conference for Baptist pastors and leaders, and we hosted it here. And so there were a lot of really great speakers sharing, and a lot of them, as part of their speaking, shared of their own personal journeys relating to the topic that they were sharing on. And it just really struck me how powerful it can be when you hear personal stories. When you think of Jesus' ministry on earth, he shared in a lot of stories and parables, both to his disciples and to those who were following him. And so my prayer this morning is that these stories that we share with you will be an encouragement to you in your own personal prayer life. So before I go any further, let me pray. Father, I thank you that you are here with us this morning. Lord, thank you that you speak to us through the quiet. Lord, that you speak to us through songs that we sing. And Lord, my prayer is that you would speak to us as myself and the others share this morning. I pray, Lord, that what we share will be a blessing to you and to others. And Lord, that this morning your name will be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Philippians 2, verse 9. Because of this, God lifted Jesus high above everything else. He gave him a name that is greater than any other name. I want to share with you that years ago, one of the many books that I've read on prayer was a book called Prayers That Are Answered by Betty Maltz. Does anybody know Betty Maltz? Has anybody read? Oh, a few of you. Okay. So for those who don't know, Betty Maltz, Maltz was an American woman. The first book I read of hers was My Glimpse of Eternity. And in that book, she shared the story about how, as a young woman, she became very ill with undiagnosed appendicitis. This was back in the 50s. And by the time she got to hospital, her appendix had burst, which even today is quite a serious condition. And back then, they were treating her with antibiotics, but they're nowhere near where they are sophisticated as what they are today. And so she ended up going into major organ failure, and she ended up dying, and she was pronounced clinically dead for over 28 minutes before she came back to life. And so the first book that she wrote was on that experience, and then the second book she wrote was this one, Prayers That Are Answered. And she wrote about her prayer journey and the different types of prayers that she used. And one particular chapter that she wrote about was the one-worded prayer, praying the name of Jesus. And this is what she wrote. In an emergency, when there is no time for a sentence of prayer, or when your heart is so broken, you cannot think straight, his name will always be enough. When you speak the name of Jesus, you have an immediate audience with the Almighty, the Father. His name, the name of Jesus, is greater than any other name, and yet how many times is the name of Jesus taken in vain? And how many times is the name of Jesus used to blaspheme? Yet this precious name has power when we link our faith with heaven. Since reading this book, I've prayed this prayer a number of times, as recently as a few weeks ago. But I want to share with you this morning the very first time I prayed this prayer which wasn't long after I'd read the book. It took place in Christchurch, so it was quite a while ago. At the time, I was 10 months pregnant, if you can imagine that, and I'd gone into town with my two young children to visit my father, their granddad. Now, at 10 months pregnant, you waddle. You don't walk, you waddle. Imagine a basketball stuck between your knees and you're trying to walk. Well, that's what I looked like. Wasn't very fast, very slow. But nevertheless, I'd gone into town and we were heading home and we were waiting at a large pedestrian crossing. Now, who knows Christchurch? It was the intersection of Colombo and Hereford Street. So it was a really, really large intersection. It was lunchtime. It was really, really busy with traffic. And while I was waiting back from the crossing, waiting for the cross sign to go, Joshua, who was my then 4-year-old, and Jessica, my 2-year-old, we were standing back waiting when out of nowhere, Jessica let go of my hand and just rushed for the intersection. Don't know why, but she just took off. And it all happened so quickly, and I had no time to react other than to drop to my knees, close my eyes and just pray, Jesus. In an emergency, when there is no time for a sentence of prayer, his name will always be enough. When you speak the name of Jesus, you have an immediate audience with the Almighty, the Father. Well, I opened my eyes and the crossing light was on. And I stood up and I grabbed Joshua and I stuck him under my arm like a football. And I sprinted. The waddle was completely gone. And I sprinted over to the other side of the road where Jessica was just standing, completely unharmed. And when I thought about it later, I recalled that although I didn't see what happened, I don't remember any horns tooting, any tires screeching or any yelling. But it was just this wonderful, wonderful miracle. Because of this, God lifted Jesus high above everything else and he gave him a name that is greater than any other name. And that is the name of Jesus. There's a wonderful old Jewish proverb that says, prayer is the moment when heaven and earth kiss each other. That's the power of prayer. So as I mentioned, we've got some of our elders coming to share with us this morning. And I'd like to invite Kath Forster, if you'd like to come up. Do you want to use the clicker? Or are you going to?
No, you can use the clicker.
You just wink and I'll click.
How do you say no to a person that works so hard for us all and we all love when she says, hey, would you speak, please? And I'm thinking, what on earth am I going to say? So, and how can you follow the story that Kathy's just told us? So I've been thinking really hard over the last few weeks, and I had a verse come to me earlier this week, so I need to put this in context. You need to remember I'm a history teacher, so everything needs a narrative around it, and it needs to know what led up to it, and it needs to know what goes after it. The causes and the consequences is what I'm always saying to my kids. What were the causes? What were the consequences? And any students that take history will know that they've had to write on causes and consequences. So I need to explain what led up to this verse being a part of my life. So the first thing was, I've probably told you already, when I was at high school, my dad was extremely sick. So much so that my mum, my sister and I, because I have a twin sister, we were looking after the farm. Just all the calves were calving, so we took the whole herd into the shed and we were milking, going to school, coming home, and my dad was so sick. He was in Wellington Hospital, which was a long way from where we lived. He came out of hospital and there were some elders from our church that came to pray with him and anointed him with oil. And that whole summer, we just kept working on the farm, making sure that our dad was okay and that our mum was actually able to look after the five of us. So it was one of those summers. Now, that summer, my dad eventually, after Christmas, so this is about 4 months later, managed to get somebody to come and work on our farm. And he said, we've never had a summer break, we need to go away. So we went to Auckland, which was a long way away. Fancy living in a city after being in the country for so long. It was amazing. We went to a church conference and we were sitting in this small little study group. And this verse came to me. And it was a verse that we put to song. And it goes like this. It goes... It goes, always rejoice, unceasingly pray, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now for me, that's how I remember scripture. It's always in song. That's my memory. And I've always grown up remembering that. So there was about six people in our group. We broke it into phrases and then we put it together as we went around our group. So that phrase came back to me this week. Now I need to tell you that there's also another thing that I think is really important, and that is what's called PO. Now PO in our lives is that mark that God has placed, that landmark. It's a significant landmark that God has placed. And it's really important. It marks that place in time. So that place in time was that scripture. And then this week, it came back to me. Now, I'm a little bit fragile, so I hope I'll get through this. But you know that Eddie and I have been working with hockey for the last, I don't know how many years, since the kids were really little. And we've been looking after college hockey at the college that I work at for the last, I don't know, I think this year is year 14. And so I'm driving kids to hockey and I'm driving kids home from hockey. So on Tuesday night, we drove to Elsdon and we played our game and we drove home. Except on the way home, we were involved in an accident. And I had 10 girls in the van, none of which were mine, 10 precious girls that their families had given me to look after. And I tell you what, it was pretty amazing. You know, after the accident, the girls said, Miss, one of our girls is crying. So I'd already got out of the van to see how the car behind me was. I didn't have time to go to him. I went round the other side. And as I got in the van, the girls were there looking after her. And later I found out it was an instant go-to for at least four of those girls, where they instantly prayed for her out loud by laying hands on her. And you know, for me, what a blessing. What a way to say thank you, Lord. And so that always rejoice, unceasingly pray, that was a go-to. And that really, really, I sat there with her just praying through as we waited for all the different services to arrive. And you know, I can thank God so much for his goodness this week. And you know, we do have tragedies and we do have celebrations, but this for me is another PO. Because in that PO, I was able to say, there was an ambulance that was only 3 minutes away on their journey home and they stopped for us. The next ambulance didn't come for another 25 minutes. So we had them right there. We had the police that looked after our girls, and man, he was fantastic. He was like a granddad. And we had the lady in the car in front of us who looked after our little year 9 girls. And man, she was a blessing. And then as we came away, the blessing that those girls were to me, always give thanks, unceasingly pray. And, you know, I can say the other thing I'm so thankful for is the girl that did go to hospital, man, she was looked after. And none of our girls had any fractures, no breaks. Yes, they're sore, so am I. But you know what? Isn't God wonderful? Because through it, that instant prayer that was there was that absolute covering. And you know, yes, pray unceasingly, but I tell you what, that go-to was amazing that day. So, yeah, I know I'm not as fragile as I was the other day, but I do want to go back to that verse, and it goes like this. Always rejoice, unceasingly pray, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Thank you for sharing that. I'd like to invite Bronwyn Poe to come up and share with us also.
Thanks, Kathy. So in my panic about speaking this morning, I left my phone behind, which has my Bible on it for such occasions. So thankfully my dear Kath had her Bible, which I knew she would, and so she has handed it to me. So praise God for taking care of my needs this morning. James 3:13 says, "Do any of you have wisdom and insight? Show this by living the right way with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and filled with self-centered ambition, don't brag. Don't say that you are wise when it isn't true. That kind of wisdom doesn't come from above. It belongs to this world. It is self-centered and demonic. Wherever there is jealousy and rivalry, there is disorder and evil, and every kind of evil. However, the wisdom that comes from above is first of all pure. Then it is peaceful, gentle, obedient, filled with mercy and good deeds, impartial and sincere. A harvest that has God's approval comes from the peace planted by peacemakers." That might seem like a bit of an odd verse to share when I'm talking about prayer. Most of you know my journey, my recent journey anyway, and I guess my biggest challenges in life came with being a parent. I think those of us that are parents would agree that when you're a parent, you start to learn things about yourself that you wish you didn't know, and you have to pray. You have to really rely on God's goodness to give you all that you need. I was really blessed to be a parent with a man who taught me a lot about being a good parent. And that became very difficult when he was diagnosed with terminal cancer and we knew that we weren't going to be able to complete our parenting journey together. I remember the day when I walked down our hallway when Alan was sick. And the kids were in the lounge, and I can't remember whether we had people with us or not, but I'd been in the bedroom where Alan was, and we'd been talking. And we'd been talking about what life was going to be like and that he didn't think he was going to see our kids and grow up. And I was trying to reassure him that we were praying for a miracle. And as I left him, I went up our hallway, and I had this incredible sense of, I can only describe it as God's presence with me, and I knew that what Alan was saying was actually going to be true, that he wasn't going to finish his parenting journey with me. I was going to have to carry on alone. And I remembered in that moment really feeling that I was going to be having to look after the future, and the future was in the lounge. and that the decisions that I made, whilst they had to take care of Alan over the next few months, they had to think about the future. And I felt incredibly ill-equipped to make that journey. I didn't feel that I had wisdom. I certainly didn't feel peaceful. I didn't actually want to be obedient to that. And so a prayer journey began, which I still hold to. Not perfectly. I don't stand here as the perfect prayer. I don't stand here as the person who can tell you that I pray every day, because I have to say that I don't always start my day in the way I should. But what I can tell you is that when I do, things go quite differently for me than when I don't. I learnt to journal. I learnt to talk to God about the things that were troubling me. I learnt to talk to God about the things that were on my heart. And somewhere in there, I learnt that it wasn't just about talking to God, it was actually about talking with God, and that I needed to be peaceful and I needed to take a moment to listen as well. And God spoke to me through people in my life. He talked to me through people in this church whānau. He talked to me through people in my work life. He talked to me through my children, and he talked to me through scripture. And he talked to me through song. One of the songs that we've sung today, Blessed Be the Name, is a song that we had at Alan's funeral. And it was a song that really spoke to us about the fact that actually things change. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're great, sometimes they're really not. But God is the same, and we can bless him through that. His name is still blessed. And we can cry out to Jesus, just as Kathy said, when we have no words. And believe me, there were times when I know that the Spirit groaned on my behalf because I had no words. But every morning, one of the things that I would pray would be this. I would ask God to come into my day after I had worked out all the things that I was worried about. And I would say to him, would you be in my thoughts, Lord? Would you be in my decisions? Would you be in the words that I speak? And would they be to your glory? And what I can say to you today, as I stand here, is that not only did God get me through those first difficult months and years without Alan, he is getting me through every single day. And in that I find joy and I find peace, and he gives me what I need for all the things that he asks me to do. And a lot of what that is lately has been the work that I do. I work for an organisation called Pathways, and we're a mental health provider, and the role that I have is to manage and lead a bunch of services in the Wellington region. And beyond being a parent, which is challenging, this job is one of the most challenging I've ever had. And there's times when you have to face things that are quite difficult when you're leading a group of people and you're leading them to work in a way that is caring and loving of the people that we and whānau that we support. And sometimes that doesn't go so well. But one of the things that I've learned is that if I place my day in God's hands and I'm willing to be used by God, and I use my prayer journey and my prayer diary to do that, then I'm able to attest to the fact that God takes me through and that good things can happen despite me, actually. Someone said to me very recently, I don't know how you manage to speak to our staff and get them to do what we want them to do. Where do you find the words? And I looked at this person and I said, it's a God thing. It's a God thing. So I attest to you this morning and encourage you, if God can use me, he can use each one of us. And he just loves us to talk with him. And you don't have to be perfect. As elders here this morning, we're not standing and saying we're perfect and we've got it all sussed and we've got the most amazing prayer life. We're here to say that we are just like you, walking the road, trusting in God to take us every step.
Thank you, Bronnie. Debbie,
visible, but I can see my words, so that's a good thing. Okay, so I have two prayer journeys I'd like to share with you. What does it mean to hold the Christ light for someone, and what's my prayer for us as a church? A journey is ongoing, which is what we've been talking about today, and I can testify that my own prayer life is constantly changing, developing, growing, being challenged as I seek to understand what it means to dialogue with God through Christ with the help of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? I really can't see that, but yes, that's it. A couple of weeks ago, Charles played the servant song. It's funny how we both alluded to songs. We've all alluded to songs this morning, and I often think in songs. So a couple of weeks, Charles played the servant song quietly while we were having communion. The words are beautiful, and for me, epitomise pastoral care and what it means to journey alongside someone. I will hold the Christ light for you in the night time of your fear. What does it mean to hold the Christ light for someone? Some years ago, my sister had a serious relapse of a brain tumour and was facing surgery, which was serious and had unknown outcomes. As a family, we were in shock. Life stands still in these moments of fear, uncertainty, confusion and anxiety. Those who have experienced crisis know what that means. Jackie, our previous pastor, organised to have people praying continuously while my sister was having surgery. Through prayer, she was holding the Christ light for me in the midst of uncertainty and fear. My friend and church family were praying, interceding for my sister and my family. They held us up. They kept the torch of hope going for us when I wasn't strong enough to do that myself. It's incredibly humbling, encouraging and powerful to know that others are praying for you, interceding on your behalf. Sorry, I'm really not very good at this, but there we go. Kathy often puts on a PowerPoint that says, don't do life alone. In this church family, our church family, we don't need to do the hard or even the mundane stuff alone. We are here to help each other. Walk the mile and bear the load. Let's hold the Christ light and encourage and support each other through prayer. It's a powerful testimony of faith and love. My sister survived the operation with really positive outcomes. And I'm grateful to God for this answer to prayer, and I'm thankful for the kindness, compassion of those in this church who carried us through that time by holding the Christ light for us through prayer. Okay, so my prayer for our church. Nikki Gumbel, in his Bible in 1 Year commentary, wrote, all godly vision needs to come from and be earthed in our understanding from the scriptures. Fulfillment of vision begins with prayer. This poses the question, how serious am I, are we, about seeing the vision of our church fulfilled when we pray? Psalm 5:3 says, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Our vision can be used as a prayer. It's a prayer for me and my family. Lord, show me through your word your heart for me and for the daily situations, decisions I encounter and make. Help me to understand and grow in knowledge of Scripture, that I might know and understand fully the inheritance that is mine through Jesus Christ. Lord, may my life stand firmly on your word. Lord, make me strong in faith. Lord, show me and... Oh, that's right, I was going to do this one. Lord, show me and help me put into practice what it means to be rich in love. So overwhelmed, transformed by the cross, where your love, forgiveness, generosity, and grace was poured out for me. May my relationships and responses to others reflect you. Lord, help me to be rich in love. Lord, show me how I can share your love, truth, and hope with my family, the people I work with and encounter each day. Help me to be obedient to your calling. Lord, release me in action. As an elder, one feels the responsibility to pray for our church, but if we are to see our vision fulfilled, we all need to unite in prayer, eager to see God do mighty things here in this place, amongst us, but also in our community. Prayer is and must be the starting point because it reminds us that we are completely dependent on God for the fulfillment of his vision for us and for our church and community. Through prayer, God breathes life. There are a number of ways we can be involved in prayer for our church. Sunday morning prayer at 9:15 downstairs. This is a time to pray for the service, for all those who are involved, that the Holy Spirit would move and reveal more of himself to us. I find it really encouraging to go to that prayer meeting. Whakarongo Mai is on the last Sunday of the month. It's a time of interceding for our church and our community. This is where we can really seek God for the vision of our church. The vision of our church has become part of my prayer journey, and I'm eager and expectant to see what God is doing and going to do in our church and community. Will you join me in the journey of prayer for our church? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for what has been shared this morning. We really truly bless you and thank you for answered prayer. We thank you that in all times we can come to you and know that, Lord, you are with us and that you care about us and you long to work in us and through us. So, Heavenly Father, I ask and pray that Heart City Baptists would be a people strong in faith, deeply rooted and established in your word. Lord, I pray that you would inspire us to be a church shaped by the cross, full of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and love. Lord, show us what it means to live out these qualities in our lives and in relationship with each other. Lord, help us to be rich in love, forgiveness, and unity. Lord, I pray that Heart City Baptists would be a people released in action, overwhelmed by your love, and a desire to see the people in our community come to know your love, truth, light, and hope. Show us your heart for our community and show us how we can put it into practice. Lord, we ask these things so that you may be honoured and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Debbie. I'm going to ask the music team if they'd like to come up. And I think having spoken about prayer journeys, and my thanks to Bronwyn, to Kath and to Debbie for sharing some of their stories with us, I'd like to extend an opportunity for you guys to receive prayer. Now that may be just where you are, or it may be that you'd like to come forward and receive prayer. I'd like to invite Chanel to come up. She's just shared a word with me that I think is very applicable before we open up a time of prayer. So would you share with us, love?
So right at the end of the last worship set, I saw a picture of the church like a disaster shelter, and the picture was kind of in two parts. The first part was, this church is your shelter. When you're in a bomb shelter or there's a disaster going on, you don't always look happy and you're not always chirpy. And so it was just saying, you don't have to be that here. Don't be what you feel you're expected to be. Just be who you are in the moment. The second part was, there's a lot of pain outside. And so stay here and rest where it's calm. Just wait till it calms outside, then go. And yes, there's going to be a day where the church needs to seek shelter, and this church is going to be a place of rest and calm for everyone.
Thank you, love. I think that's a very appropriate word for this time as well. Prayer is such an intimate thing. We had a speaker at the LEAD conference, Tak Barner, who made this statement. Prayer is not powerful because of who is praying, but who is listening. And so this morning, if you would like prayer, the invitation is to come forward while the music team is leading us in worship. And there'll be members of the prayer team, elders, the church care team who would love to pray with you. Maybe you are just struggling. Maybe your prayer life is a little bit dry. Maybe there is something going on in your life right now that you'd just like somebody to be alongside you and to support you in prayer, to carry the torch for you. So the music team are going to lead us in a final song, and the invitation is if anybody would like to come forward to do so, we would love to pray with you. Remember that old Jewish proverb, prayer is the moment when heaven and earth kiss.